Gene, welcome back out here to Scott City, K-State Fry here. We were just talking about this. It's been a lot of changes, not only with college athletics, but the Big 12 Conference over the last 2 years. And how exciting is it moving ahead for Wildcat Athletics in Big 12?
Well, you know, we always love coming out here. This is one of my favorite spots. I can't get out here every year, so it's always fun to get out here. But it has a lot changed in the 2 years since I was here. Obviously, you know, if you'd have told me the Pac-12 was not going to be in existence, if you'd have told me Arizona and Arizona State were going to be part of the Big 12, I'd have told you you're probably crazy. So, you know, we've got that. You got conference realignment. You know, you've got the world of NIL, which has certainly blown up to, you know, sometimes crazy proportions. And then we're facing a lot legally from lawsuits across the country. And so it's going to change the landscape of college athletics once we get through all this.
Well, okay, so, there's still a few teams out there. The Pac-12 still has a couple of remnants left. Are we looking at further expansion down the road, or are we pretty well set where we're at? Where are we right now?
Yeah, you know, as far as athletic directors, I think we're pretty comfortable right now. We want to just kind of settle in. We need to really see where these lawsuits take us, in my opinion. You know, our commissioner, he's never going to be, relaxed. He's always going to be looking at something. But I think for now, we just need to get through this lawsuit, find out what the settlement means. What does it mean in terms of, was it going to be revenue sharing, all those kind of things? Once we figure that out, I think, you know, the door can be always open again. You never know what's going to happen with the ACC. Obviously, there's a lot of rumors with those guys. But as athletic directors, we've kind of said, you know, let's take a pause for a little bit and see where it goes next.
There's been so much change with the NIL, and it's become a big factor. Do you feel like there will eventually be kind of a cap what teams can do with NIL?
I would hope so. You know, I think this is where the lawsuit will come in and whatever settlement we come up with. I believe if we go to revenue share, one of the pieces of the lawsuit is that a donor cannot give individually to a collective. It has to be absolutely a true corporate deal. So hopefully that'll bring it back into real NIL. If that happens, I think we can control it a lot better. But, you know, still a lot of unknowns out there because we haven't come close to this settlement yet, but we're still talking about a lot of pieces of it.
You know, everybody out there, the talking heads, they talk, you hear a lot about the SEC and the Big Ten, you know, and they kind of cast those two as the big players, and the rest of us are just supposed to be in their shadow. I'm not there yet. I think from top to bottom, the Big 12 is pretty darn good, or the Big 16, whatever we call ourselves. Right. But I think from top to bottom, we're a pretty darn good conference, and basketball in particular. You know, do you feel like we're in a pretty good position, you know, to be that top three, that big three?
Absolutely. You know, and that's the one thing that gets frustrating. Obviously, they have the majority of the money based on their TV dollars. So we are typically third in that. But in terms of success, I think once we expand to the 12-team playoff, you're going to see a lot more Big 12 teams in that field. I also think, like you mentioned, our basketball just continues to get stronger when you bring in the likes of Arizona and Utah, and you've got Houston already. And then football's continuing. So I think what you see is getting, you know, two, three teams in the final 12 and advancing is just going to solidify our power as a conference. And I think we've got a great conference. And, you know, the only thing that they talk about those two is because they have majority of the money from the revenue sources.
Exactly. What was the biggest thing that you've learned being on the College Football Playoff Committee?
Well, you know, obviously we made a big decision this year with the Florida State. I know it frustrated, trust me, it frustrated the Florida State fans. But at the end of the day, our job is to put the four best teams in the playoffs, and we felt clearly that they, with their injuries, weren't going to be one of those four best teams. But what I've learned is the value of everybody in that room, and they care about one thing, and they care about getting the best 25 teams in the country in either the bowl games or the playoffs. This year it'll be now 12, but there's a lot of good people in that room that know a lot about college football, and we walk in there every weekend for 7 straight weeks, and that's all we worry about. We don't worry about where you're from or what conference. We just try to pick the best, and that's always going to be the case with that committee.
Well, I'm going to, and this may not be in your wheelhouse, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. What became frustrating, it seemed like it even magnified during this last bowl season. It felt like a lot of bowl games were basically spring training. You know, by the time you saw, you know, players departing, whether for whatever reason, you know, and Florida State was one of those examples. But is there Is there any way to avoid that? Is there any way to maybe know that you're going to have a quality team on the field for whatever bowl you're in?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a kind of a two-edged sword. I think it gave, like, our coach an opportunity to see a lot of younger players,
right.
And then having to get them ready for a bowl game over a period of several weeks. It is frustrating that you lose so many. I think if the bowl games can kind of figure out an NIL, a piece of the bowl game payout to the players, that might keep them here. The other thing I think is where transfer window opens up right as the season ends, and that's a real problem. So we need to kind of adjust our transfer portal windows. But, you know, it was tough for Coach. You think he had 80 guys on the squad or 85 and, you know, had to deal with a lot. But, you know, now a lot of those players that played in that bowl game, you're going to see a lot of this fall.
Do you think the transfer portal window will be moved back then?
They're talking about it. I think there's a lot of back and forth about the right time. And so the coaches are talking about it, and that goes up to a committee. But I do think we need to make some sort of adjustment, either start it later after the season and then maybe not have the spring one, or just find one in the spring. But, again, coaches are the best folks to really make those decisions.
Real quickly, guys go to Ireland in 2025 with Iowa State. So you're taking Farmageddon to Ireland. I don't know if it's going to be all for the potatoes or not, but how did that come aboard there to get to Ireland?
Well, a friend of mine is John Anthony. He's one of the big sponsors at Anthony Travel, and we've been talking for a few years. But I just never felt we had the right game, because I was always thinking a preseason game or, you know, a non-conference game. And then he approached about Iowa State, and I thought Coach would not really want to be interested, but he reached out to some coaches that had been there, and they were like, you got to do it, you got to do it. And I think it's, you know, once in a many, 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 many year opportunity for our kids, for our fan base, and there's a lot of excitement with our fan base. Yeah, you hate taking a big game like that off your campus, but I think eventually we'll get back to a normal rotation with Iowa State.